I feel so official with the mic, you know? Judy doesn't know this, but when she texted me on Monday, I have you know, she's like, "So what do you think?" And it was my daughter's 30th birthday, and I'm cooking this birthday dinner, and I'm just, you know, all the pans are going, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, really? I thought, oh, because I'm trying to get my home ready because I'm going to be down for about 3 to 6 months. And so I'm trying to get everything prepared. And I thought, well, last week I thought, okay, well, I'm off the hook now. So now it's just smooth sailing all the way until the surgery. But I think the Lord knew better. And it is funny. It is prophetic because when she asked me, I thought, oh, wow, I just mentioned that on Thursday about having something in your back pocket. And it is really true because I think the Lord has, for me, just given me things over the years where you know that it's something so remarkable that you just will never forget it. You know, that I said here that it's kind of like the biggest bleep on your personal Richter scale, you know, that it just shows up and you're like, I remember that. And this is a story that I've actually had in my back pocket since 2011. And I know the Lord had it for me, and I've just been waiting for this opportunity to know that He would have me share it. And it's kind of funny, and I apologize to Brett if you happen to watch this, but the Lord gave me this outline a few weeks ago during Brett's sermon, and all of a sudden it just popped in my brain, and I got my notes, and all of a sudden I just like bang, 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 you know, and I just wrote it all down, and it was clear as a bell. And so when Judy asked me on Monday, I thought, oh, I've already got the outline done, and so there it is. And so after some few prayers and a few hours went by, I just thought, you know what, for one, for Judy to ask me, I know that that's the Lord, and my husband didn't shoot it down, so I figured that was the Lord too, so here I am. But this is one of those stories that I just think is just super profound and fits perfectly for what we're going through. But first, I just want you to think about your perfect vacation. You know, we all talked about rest, and what does your perfect vacation look like? You know, is it the cruise ship? I know that Yvonne and the Betts just went to Hawaii for 10 days. You know, is that your perfect vacation? Some of us just think, oh, just to go to Disneyland, that's perfect. Well, for me, my perfect vacation is to go back to Africa. It always is because that's my heart. It's just who I am. I'm always tell people I'm the whitest African you've ever met, and because that's the truth. You know, my heart is an African. That's where I was born and I was raised, and so for me, the perfect vacation is to be able to go there. So we had this trip planned in 2011, and the purpose for this trip was that I had a high school reunion, and it was in Cape Town. And I think a lot of you probably saw my pictures on Facebook many, many years ago, but we did this absolutely spectacular trip. We were given some air miles, actually, from Larry and Deb, and we had saved air miles ourselves, so the flight was free, and so it was just our trip down there, and we actually drove from Johannesburg, and we went to the coast, and then we drove all down the South African coast to Cape Agulhas, which is the lowest point in Africa, and then to Cape Town, and then we drove all the way back up again. We did like 4,000 kilometers, just a spectacular trip. We did it with Jenny, our youngest daughter, and because she didn't want to miss out, and that's Jenny's personality. And that part of the trip was just wonderful because it was all just bungalows, or it was cottages on the ocean, or, you know, that was just really fun. But at that point, also Kaipo met us at that point because he wanted to join in on our trip. So Kaipo joined us, and we flew to Johannesburg, and then from Johannesburg, we flew up to Harare. And um, And so this is where the fun part really came into play, because the one thing that we've always wanted to do, and that especially I've wanted to do, is to canoe on the Zambezi River. And if you know the demographics of Zimbabwe, where it is in Africa, the Zimbabwe River is the river that you first have the Victoria Falls, and the Victoria Falls flows down, and it goes into what we call Lake Kariba, which is one of the biggest man-made lakes in the world, and then it out of the spillway, the Zambezi continues down, flows all the way through Mozambique, and then goes into the Indian Ocean. So it's a huge river. It's very big, and it's a profound river. But it's also about hours drive from town. So it's really in the bush, and so it's really out there. But it is one of those, I mean, if you've seen the brochures of those people, you know, in their canoes, and they're driving by, and there's the elephants and stuff, and it was like, wow, I want to do that. That would be really fun. And so that's what we did. We organized a little tour with Kaipo and Jen, and then Michael and I, and then my cousin from Harare joined us, and then we had two guides. And one of the main guides, his name was Cloud. And so the whole point of the trip was that you start the trip just really underneath the spillway of Kariba Dam. And then we pick up the boats and you load up the boats, and then you canoe for, you know, most of the day. And then you stop at night on a sandbank. And the reason for the sandbank is because the cats, the lions and leopards and everything, don't cross the water. They don't like to swim. So the sandbanks are pretty free of, you know, predators that want to eat you at night. And so the point is to go to the sandbanks, and then you pitch up your tents and everything, and then you spend the night on the sandbanks. And the next morning, you pack it all up, you put in your boats, and you go down the river, and you do that. We did that for 3 nights. So this just sounded wonderful to me and to Michael. And of course, Jen's always up for an adventure, and Kaipa was willing to go because Jenny was going. And, you know, and so that was our big trip. And so, when you see those brochures, you're like, wow, that sounds just great, you know. But the reality is that when we got there, we were picked up by Cloud and the other guide in these big vehicles, and just the road from where we were to get to the river was an adventure within itself, because there was literally ruts in the road that were this big, and we were driving at angles like this, and we were in an open back Jeep. I mean, it was like, if you want your heart to start pumping, then you got in the back of that Jeep and you just try to make it down that escarpment down to the river. And so that was exciting within itself. And wow, this is amazing, you know. And so then we got to the close up to the river, and so then Cloud, and we got all our bags and everything, and we take all our kit down to the river. And the first thing that I see when I go down to the river is this whole pod of hippos off to the side. And then I was like, oh my gosh. Now, this wasn't a surprise to me, because obviously I grew up there, and so we know about all these things. And when you grow up, you're aware of it. You pay attention. You know, it's like if you're a farmer and you have a herd of cattle, you know where your cattle are. I mean, you know, you just understand the land. But I don't know if you know this, but hippos are the number one killers of humans ever. So people don't think, they think it's like the big white shark or anything, or even crocodiles, but it's actually hippos. And hippos are extremely dangerous animals. And you know that. I mean, it's kind of like you understand that in your brain, but when you actually go down a water level, then you're starting to look at these guys with a whole different light, you know. And there was also a bunch of crocs that were lying, you know, on the side in the sand. I'm like, wow, okay, this is becoming really real now. And it's also one of those fun things, you know, my family lived there, and like, did you know there was a croc that pulled someone out of a canoe just a week ago, and they just disappeared, you know. And so you're like, okay, you know, thanks for sharing, you know. But, you know, we got in that boat, and Cloud's telling you all about what you're supposed to do, and you have your life jacket on, but you know, it was about 110 degrees there, because it's in this escarpment, the Zambezi escarpment. It's unbelievably hot, and you think, wow, that's great, but we're in the water. But the problem is you can't touch the water because of the crocs, and because of what's in the water. So even though you're in the water, you can't touch it, and which is kind of a whole experience too. So now this is just the vulnerable part of me. I'm just exposing my underbelly here. I was mildly freaked out. And so, you know, you get in this canoe and it's, you know, does the wobbly thing and it's packed to the gills with gear. And part of you is like, oh my gosh, you know, this is kind of an amazing thing. So when you are instructed on how to row and everything, Cloud explained to us that no matter where you are on the river, the hippos always get right of way. You know? the thing is, when you're in the river and the hippos are in the middle of the river, then you go to the side and you give them the room. You don't actually want to, obviously, go in between them or interfere where they are. And Cloud and his partner knew exactly where the hippos were because they're very territorial. So, and they do this river all the time. And so, there you are. So we're in the boat and so it's kind of funny too, because the way that you know where the hippos are is that you tap the boat with your oar. You know, so it's pretty funny because within the first 30 minutes, you're like, row, row, tap, 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 row, row, tap, 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 you know, because, and then sure as nuts, these things would just come out of the water and they're snorting and their ears are going you know, but they usually kept us pretty far from them, and that was fine, you know. And then there's crocs everywhere. When we lived there, they actually used to control the croc population so that they would not overtake the lakes and the rivers. But now, with the way things are in the economy, that's not the case. So there's literally crocs everywhere. Just recently, they shot a croc, and it was 25 feet long. So, I mean, we're not talking about these guys. We're talking, I mean, these guys are huge animals. So we're in the boat, and Michael and I have to say, we've been married 32 years. We were in this boat together, and it was an extreme effort of teamwork on our part to be able to make that boat go facing forwards, for one. That everybody else was, you know, hugging the bank, and Michael and I were kind of going out this way. And of course, you're rowing profusely, you know, and he's trying to do his thing. You know, I think it's a great test of marriage that you can be in a boat like that for so long and still love each other dearly when you're done with your trip. But it just happened to be one of those experiences. And for me personally, growing up there, I was kind of the only one out of our family that really knew what we were doing. It was really kind of amazing, but it was kind of crazy. You know, the snakes, the cobras, just all the wildlife. And that's part of it. You think, well, Polly, you're crazy, but it is just part of it. And I love that. I would rather do that than sit on a cruise boat with 4,000 people. You know, that's just who I am as a person. So even though it was so stressful, it's just an amazing thing. But it was extremely hot. And when you're 50-something years old, we all know how we don't like heat. And you're in the water, but you can't really touch it. Although I have to say, every once in a while, I had one of those cotton hats. I would dip it in the water quickly, and then you just dump it on your head just to try to cool off a little bit. And you know, there was rapids. Michael and I, we talked about this last night. We actually went through some of those rapids backwards. We even went through one sideways one time because I'm dyslexic, and so Michael would say, okay, to the right, and I would just be paddling, you know, and he would go the other right, I'm like, okay, you know, like this, and bless his heart, you know, he was just very patient with me, and I was just being very patient with him, because, it wasn't just a very coordinated experience. But there was just many, many times when, you know, we're going through this river and we're having this experience that we would tap the boat or Cloud would tap the boat, and literally 30 or 40 of these hippos would just come out of the water. First, it's like as flat as, you don't see anything, and all of a sudden they emerge. There's something about that just really, really gets you. And, you know, part of it, too, I think is because I'm a mom and my daughter's in the boat. And you know, you are extremely vulnerable. I mean, it's just, it's fun, but it's also, I don't know. I mean, your adrenaline is just going the whole entire time. So when we then would stop, we would get on the sandbank and we would have lunch, and then Cloud and this guy would come out and all the stuff appeared, and we had this amazing food prepared for us, but we still couldn't touch the water. So even it was unbelievably hot, we would have to just stay in the shade, but they would prepare our food, and then they would put all the kit back in the boat, and then off we would go for our next afternoon fun, you know, type of thing. And so it was fun. And sometimes Cloud would find a part of the river that he knew would be safe. And he always had a gun on him, and so he would go through the water, and he would just, you know, make sure there wasn't any crocs in there, and then we were able to swim a couple of times. So that was nice, but it had to be under, and he would stand guard and make sure that there wasn't any interference, you know. So I'm explaining how I was doing. I mean, I really was beet red. Every picture you see of me, I am absolutely on fire red, and I'm sweating. There was nothing pretty about this at all, you know, and I was anxious the whole entire time, but loving it at the same time, but it just, the anxiety was enormous on my part. What makes this funny is that Kaipo and Jen were in another boat together. And they've been dating, I think, just a year. And Jenny had her camera on her. And I swear that you could see the lace parasol that was just over her, like this. And her handsome beau was behind, and he was just paddling away. And everything, they were just gliding along. They didn't go backwards one time. And I am looking at Jenny, and I'm looking at Kaipo and thinking, my gosh, they're still dating, and they've got that figured out so much better than Michael and I do, you know? And it was, part of it was like, oh my, and I think all they could do is just to not be laughing at mom and dad the whole entire time. Because even Cloud, every once in a while, would feel sorry for us, and he would paddle alongside us, and he would tip our boat and kind of head it the right direction, you know? So at least we were going downstream. And we were heading the right way, but Jenny spent 3 days on the river taking pictures. I don't know if she rowed very much at all, and I don't know if she broke a sweat. And all I could do is look at my daughter in amazement and think, "Oh my goodness, look at her." And look at him, you know. And it's not like I'm trying to shoot my husband down. It's not at all. But, you know, that's how it is with marriages sometimes. Sometimes people have to work a little harder and some don't. And just a complete side note, he proposed to her on that trip. And I know. Whew. So it was an unbelievable evening. And He had waited till the second night, and we were on a sandbank and we were camping, and I am not exaggerating. There were elephants walking around our tents, and you could hear them because their stomachs would rumble. You know, you hear this sound, and you can hear them walking. And at some point, because, you know, Michael and I wanted to, of course, they were being chaperoned the whole entire time, but we wanted to give them some, a little bit of personal time. So they were out, you know, kind of in front, but not in front where we could see them, but just like right here. They were sitting there together, but Kaipo just felt that the Lord was prompting him to propose to her. And so he got up, and he came past the tent, and he's like, I'm going to propose to Jenny. And we're like, oh! And so he got the ring, but he couldn't get back to her because there were elephants close by, and he didn't want, you know, he had to wait for the elephants to pass, you know. And anyway, he went to her, and he proposed, and we couldn't see because our tent faced this way, and they were right over there. But it was just a really neat thing, and that was just a huge blessing. But what I wanted to share with you, and kind of the crux of this whole story, is that Jenny and I went down this river together. We were in the same kind of boat, and we were in the same water. We were with the same crocodiles, and we were with the same hippos, and we were in the exact same situation. But I was filled every moment with fear and trembling, and Jenny was just sitting in this boat and enjoying her life and enjoying this trip just to the fullest extent. And that's how it is for us in life. It's really a truth that all of us go down this river together. We all go down the same thing. We're all experiencing the same trials in life and the same tribulations that might look a little bit different. You know, we might have a husband that can row a little better than mine. Or, you know, whatever it is. But the point being is that we all take this journey. And the question is, are you going to take the journey like Paula did, or are you going to take the journey like Jenny did? And it was a real truth for me, for I just realized that my trust in the Lord in those 3 days was so poor. It was so fragile. And I wished afterwards that I had truly enjoyed my trip that the same way that Jenny had. You know, that we could really in life just trust the Lord, even in those extenuating circumstances, even in those real trials that we have in life. And do we choose to be in the boat that I was in, or do we choose to be in the boat that Jenny was in? And it really is a choice. And I just really felt that analogy so much when I would look at her and I would see that beautiful countenance and that beautiful peace she had as she's just taking thousands of pictures every day. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And so when I got off that river, I just thought so much about that contrast of the trip that we had. And I think it's so important that we really do learn to rest in Him always in any situation that we find ourselves. And it is hard and life is tough, but I think that if I had just really made that decision like, okay, Lord, it's going to be fine and I'm going to enjoy this instead of sweating and just that whole anxiety every single day. So it's just the encouragement for you. You know, if you think about when you guys are going through hard times, or when you feel yourself in that anxiety and in that moment where you can think about those boats and you think, okay, I'm going to choose to be in Jen's boat. I'm going to choose to go down the river of life, and I'm going to choose to go through it like Jenny did. And I was thinking about scripture verses as we were going, as I was listening to Brett, and he actually brought this one to mind, and it's Psalms 91:9. And it says, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, and no plague will come near your home. for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. And that includes the Zambezi River with the crocs and the hippos. They will hold you up in their hands so you won't ever hurt your foot on a stone. And you will trample lions and cobras, and you will crush the fierce lions and the serpents underneath your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me, and I will protect those who trust in my name. And 15, when they call on me, I will answer, and I will be with them in trouble, and I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. And I really love that. I probably should have read that, had it printed out and just stuck it on my oar, or, you know, put it in a place where I could just paddle and think about that, because it's so true. It's such a truth for us. And, you know, we sing this song all the time, actually, from Chris Tomlin. And I really love that. It says, I know who goes before me, and I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And it's such a truth, because he is with us all the time. And we fear so many things, and we just go through life just so afraid sometimes, and we really don't need to be. So I just wanted to just give you that for my little experience on the Zambezi River. And I just really hope that really does bless you. I hope that it just really is a reminder for you, for whatever you're going through. You know, that you choose the right boat, and you choose to bring the Lord into you, no matter where you are and whatever you're doing. And that as we go through this life together, that it's just going to be a peaceful life, no matter what happens. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, for this song that we do sing, that we know that you do go before us, Lord, and we do know that you stand behind. Lord, that we can always be in the shadow of your wings, no matter where we are, Lord. And Father, even if we are in places that we choose to be that are fearful, Lord, or sometimes when we just find ourselves in a place, Father, that we just remember the reality of the peace that you have for us, the rest that you have for us, no matter where we are or what we're doing. Father, I just pray for every woman in this room that they would just truly make that part of their life, Lord. That whenever we feel ourselves getting all heated up and anxious, Lord, and just sweating and starting to panic, Lord, that we can just truly remember who you are, and that you're just totally there waiting to just give us the comfort and the peace that we need. So, Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for this opportunity. Father, I just thank you for every woman that's here. Lord, I just pray now as we break up in our groups that all these prayers that are going to be lifted up to you, Lord, are just a sweet, sweet savor. Lord, that it's just an offering that each one of us have, Lord, that we can just also lay all of our anxieties and fears at your feet, Lord, and just leave them there. Father, I just thank you for this time and for this study and for this amazing opportunity that we have with childcare, with amazing worship in this beautiful building, Lord, that we can just stop on Thursday mornings and have this moment of time with you. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.